Previously on Worlds Away.
This thing out in the rocks, it's Aventine, isn't it?
Most likely not. However, we are here to rule that out. Rule out every possibility until we get to the truth.
Can I ask you something? Honestly? Because I need to know who's playing us now the same way I needed to know the last time I was here who was playing us then.
You're right that war is bad for the Verge, but the belief that Aventine wouldn't honor the vote was at worst a well-educated guess. Being prepared for what would come next wasn't warmongering. It was prudence.
I don't disagree with you. You are right to be skeptical of us. Right now, they're calling it an anomaly. I don't know what exactly you've told your people. I'm skeptical of everyone. I'm suspicious of everyone.
I think at that point, your slates both go off. And I think you get a message from the scanner regarding the anomaly. And I think what the message is that it appears to be changing in size.
I helped Charlie with the stealth system tech. And so I am trying to, using what I understand about the way that it cloaks a ship, see if I can like retroactively apply some sort of filter that would make the ship visible on these recordings. Oof.
Is that a four?
A five.
A five.
It's a five.
I think we see the slate on the table, like on the desk where the computer is. And I think we can see like the light is indicating on it. But I don't think you noticed this, Nasir, because you are transfixed by what you're seeing on the screen. Because on the screen, you see an object that didn't appear before you attempted the modifications, before you installed the code that you did. But that object is not the ghost ship.
We haven't seen trace of you for almost 3 years. What changed recently?
The last time you saw us, we were an echo left behind in the mind of your subject. But an impression like that isn't so limited. With this space here being similar to what you found in Nadia's mind, perhaps you're just filling in the gaps.
Are you also just an echo?
No more, no less than we were last time. Though in this case, we came here with you.
I think Lila's looking around, trying not to be too frantic, but definitely just whipping around in all directions, seeing the mist crawling up, and I think she's starting to lose it.
Maybe 20 feet ahead of you, standing on this dark reflective surface, you can see the monster. The same one that you saw in Nadia's mind. The one you saw where the child was standing after you fell at the tower. What do you do?
Yeah, I think Lila's kind of frozen. I don't think that she even thinks about running away or something like that.
I think if that's what happens, it looks toward you and maybe it kind of tilts its head like 3 degrees at an angle. And then with incredible speed, it lunges at you to strike. Welcome to World's Way, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'll be your game master, John Ossip, and here with me today, we've got Haley Daria.
Happy holidays.
Thank you. Lauren Wilbanks.
Chilly Willy.
I don't know why that got me to say. Michael Morales.
Hi.
Fuck, Mike was also going to say Chilly Willy, but Lauren stole it.
Yeah.
It's damn, so true.
That's savage. And Moshitara.
Happy Honda days.
There was like a siren in the background right
there
when
he
said that.
I don't want you to cut it.
I won't. There's no cutting.
It's perfect for the happy Honda days.
We can't cut Honda days. Yeah. So when we last left off, Mara and Arno were waiting in the lobby of the Office of Public Safety, which is where Nasir was looking at the footage of the ghost ship. And you received messages on your slates that contained sensor readings from the anomaly back in the cave. And those readings are showing that its size, or at least the position of its outer perimeter, is starting to change. The complication here is that Randall Lawrence, both in response to Arno's actions the last time the four of you were on Satis, and also Mara's work with Aventine during the time jump, has forbidden you from following Nasir into the office where he's looking at the footage. And so my question for you two is, how long do you wait for him before deciding what to do next? And then I want to play out that decision.
Lauren, I think if we got the notification that this was happening, we would assume that Nasir got the notification, and we probably wouldn't wait for him to come to us. We'd probably go to meet him there, or assume that's where we would see him.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So you would just leave him immediately and go straight to the cave?
I don't know that we know that we're leaving him. I think like we'd think like we left at different times from different places. We'll meet up at that same really interesting spot, right?
So I guess let me ask then, if that's the case, and you both head out immediately, right? Do you say anything or send him a message, or what do you two do as you're on the way out?
Oh, probably like a quick message, like heading out. We'll meet you at the anomaly.
Yeah, like rendezvous at the anomaly. See you there.
Yeah.
Let me ask one other question then about that. Do you send anything to Leela, or is it just to Nasir?
I think we send something to her.
Yeah. I think even given Arno's feelings right now, if there's a chance that like this all goes wrong and we all die in the same place, like somebody should know what killed us and stay the fuck away.
Okay, so you're advocating not necessarily like a meet you there, but like we are headed to check out the anomaly.
That's right.
So I think if all that's the case, maybe we don't play out a scene. Maybe there's no scene to play out right now.
Mm.
I think maybe what we see is just you two share a glance and one of you taps out a message on the slate. I guess, like, which one is it? Who sends the message?
Mara does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we just see Mara tapping out a message on the slate, and then the two of you quickly move to the door. And then I think we see Nasir still staring at the screen inside and the slate face down on the table with him completely oblivious to it. At the end of the last episode, Leela, we saw you inside the maze when you failed your role to try to heal Lena Dallin. And as the childhood bedroom that you were both in dissolved and you returned to the mist of the maze, we saw the monster, the creature you last saw deep inside Nadia's mind, lunge out toward you to strike. What do you do?
I think Leela's going to move into a defensive posture. I wonder if she just kind of looks down and sees the Arnis sticks appear in her hand, and all of a sudden she's holding them in front of herself as though to ward off any strikes. And then if I have the opportunity, I would love to look around and try to assess the surroundings as well as the monster itself.
So let me ask this. You're just trying to defend yourself from the strike, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I guess I'll leave it up to you. Do you think it's about sort of reflexively pulling it out? You mentioned they kind of appeared in your hand, which that to me kind of sounds like it's act quick. But also if you're trying to just withstand an attack, that sounds like keep your cool. So what's sort of the mental state, or what does this look like in terms of the speed of what's happening?
I think it's more of just like defending and keeping her cool. I think the sticks just kind of appear in her hand almost just because she needed them and they were then there. But then the second she has them, then I think she's just defending.
Go ahead and roll plus stalwart then.
Okay. That would be a 10.
So I think I'd mentioned last time that the creature, the monster, is about 7 feet tall and has these tentacle-like arms. I think 6 of them that are curled around from its back. And I think you see one of them lash out toward you. It's almost a whip-like movement, but it's firm, it's solid, right? But I think you hold up both of the bastions, right? And I think you can tell from the impact that there is a lot of force and strength behind this. I think if this was the real world, you'd be worried that the bastions would have broken. But for whatever reason here, that rule doesn't seem to apply. But you're pushed back, and I think you roll backwards, and I think you kind of go down into the mist. And I think what happens is you see then materialize from the mist a low hedge maze or sort of labyrinth that you could maybe hide behind and get some cover. But I think as you look back, you can see the shadow of the monster looming and looking for you and beginning to push its way through this maze. And I think it's not even navigating it. I think it's just going right through the hedge. At this point, though, I think you have a second to collect yourself. If you wanted to look around or do something else, you could roll for that as well.
I do want to look around, but I almost feel like if I'm kind of descending through the maze and kind of almost like scrambling, trying to evade the monster, then maybe I'm not even physically looking, but maybe I'm like sending out vibes to try to see if I can sense the child, or if it's near me. I don't know if that's something that makes sense.
I think that makes sense. I guess the question is that still just scope it out, which I think makes sense for kind of investigating a situation, or is there a different move that might apply? It depends on what you're doing in this scenario.
I think it's still scope it out, because I think Leela is just trying to get her bearings and figure out, like, is the child here? Is that someone that she needs to be like protecting or trying to coordinate with? And then I think based on what she finds out, then she'll be able to better understand how to like respond to the monster.
And I will just ask before you roll, which I think that all works, and I think we can do scope it out for that. But just as a reminder about the last time you saw this creature, right? There was that reflective pool where you saw the monster appear. But what happened is at first you saw the child standing there and then it became the monster. Does that give you any pause, or do you think that they're the same or separate? What's Leela's sense of this?
I mean, I would say I have a hook that says the ghost ship is trying to protect us from a greater threat. I'll stand in the way if others try to harm it. And I think for Leela, the child is connected to the ghost ship, since the only times she's encountered it have been in the aftermath of ghost ship attacks. So I think it would be a bit hard for her to immediately jump to the idea that the child is the same as the monster. And I do think her instinct would be to like look for it first or try to search out for it.
All right, so go ahead and roll scope it out then.
All righty.
Jesus Christ.
Another 10.
Damn. All right.
Not 10. Wish I could have rolled that on my last one, but
yeah, the last one might have been better for the success in terms of avoiding the situation. But when you take time or use sensitive equipment to closely study an object, situation, or person, you enroll plus calculating. On a 10 plus, your investigation pays off and you ask three questions. And that's, where's my best escape route, way in or way past? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my enemy's true position? Who or what here is not what they seem? Who's really in control here? How could I best end this quickly? And who or what here could be a useful opportunity?
I think I gotta go with the classic, who or what here could be a useful opportunity, because to me, I think that's like what I think the child would be, is like an ally or someone that I should be coordinating with. My second question would be, how could I best end this quickly? I think that's definitely the goal here. And then, I mean, I guess who or what here is not what they seem, because this is a dream and, you know, not a dream, but it is some sort of alternate state, and that would be good to know.
So before I answer those questions, I have a question for another member of the cast, which is, Nasir, do you remember the dream sequence that you described to us where we saw Nasir floating in space?
I do, yes.
And I think you had mentioned at one point there was a tether that attached to you, correct? There was a,
yes,
something that you were holding on to. Could you just describe that a little bit more for me and what that looked like?
Yeah, I think it was a little different than, if anyone knows what like a space tether looks like now. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was much sleeker. I think it was like a long carbon fiber, kind of like a thick rope, but not much larger than that. And I think that it was attached magnetically, or in the real world would be attached magnetically to a harness that I was wearing. Mm-hmm. In the dream sequence, I think it was just a part of my spacesuit.
Okay. So I think what you see then, Leela, or maybe see is the wrong word here for anything I'm about to say, actually, but you had asked what was a useful opportunity. And I think that you hear kind of echoing in the same way that you've heard it in previous times when the child has spoken to you in the maze. You hear, this way, hurry. And I think that you see the maze or the hedges start to rise up taller, and they're going taller and taller until the labyrinth kind of extends the full height of, I mean, I would say your vision, but maybe it's more infinite than that. Mm-hmm. So instead of the short maze you can look over, you now see the walls in every direction. But I think you can hear the voice leading you through the maze, maybe similarly to how you moved your way through Nadia's mind, but now mm-hmm. with a much more urgent or frantic pace. But I think what you know from looking at this, or from just seeing the scale of the labyrinth that's grown around you, is it will take time and effort and be a challenge to make your way through the maze to whatever exit is on the other side. That said, you had asked how to best end this quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think that you can see, maybe attached to the back of this creature, maybe it's where all of the tentacles meet, there is a kind of cord or tether, maybe not dissimilar to what Mo just described. And I think it leads to where you understood Lena Dallin's bed to have been, the childhood bed that she was resting in when you tried to help her. Now, what would happen to Lena if you severed that connection? I don't think that you know that, but I think that you do understand that if the monster is in her mind, then changing that or breaking that connection would at least end the threat.
Okay.
And finally, you asked who or what here is not what they seem. And I think that when you heard that voice, right, you had said that you're trying to feel out and get the vibes, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you heard the voice of the child, you felt the monster.
So the child and the monster do feel connected in some way?
At least the feeling that you get is similar.
Okay.
Like the same sense that you get when you see the monster, that's the sense that you feel when you hear the child speak.
And that's not the feeling that I always get when I hear the child speak necessarily, because I've heard the child speak before.
I don't know if it's that, how do I put this? It's not that anything else about it is different. It's just that, you know, and I would have said see, it's almost like you see in your mind's eye the image that you saw when the child became the monster back inside Nadia's mind before you entered the maze for the first time. So it's, you're kind of reflecting back to that moment when you saw the transformation occur.
Okay.
Though that monster obviously wasn't attacking.
Right. I do think Leela is struggling a little bit with what we know to be her hook, because this idea of this monster, the thing that's clearly attacking her, being connected to the child, which she thought was benevolent, I think that's creating just a lot of confusion and turmoil within her. But what she knows is that whatever the child did to Nadia and Selena did not seem good for them. And that if she can find a way to break the connection between Lena's mind and the child slash the monster, then maybe that will save Lena, or at least get Leela out of this place. I think with all that information, I think Leela switches from trying to escape into more of a offensive position. And I think I'm going to try to sever that tether.
Before you do that, I think one thing happens when you take the aggressive posture.
Mm-hmm.
I think you hear the voice again say, "No, you have to flee this way." And you hear it echoing down the corridor of the maze.
Damn. Hold on. I'm so torn. So on one hand, so I asked how to best end this quickly. And the answer was that there is a tether that seems to connect the monster to Lena in some way, and that ending the connection would end the threat, is what you said.
Mm-hmm. It would end the monster.
It would end
the
monster.
I'll say that's the sense you get.
But then the other option is like, okay, if I follow what the child says and maybe I get out of here, then I don't know.
I think while you're figuring this out, I guess, and I'm not trying to like put the pressure on you, but I think that you see or feel the rumble of like the hedges beginning to part and move as the monster does advance.
Okay, I get it. You're playing the music. I have like, I need to get off the stage. I know.
The hook is your death. You will get dead.
I also just think that there's like boss music playing for some reason.
Yeah, so it's the boss fight. You're right.
Fuck.
I mean, you can be torn, right? The character can be torn.
Yeah.
I think it sounds like she is.
Yeah. Okay. I think I know.
Okay.
So I think Leela was feeling resolved to take that action and cut the tether. And then the voice of the child again echoes in her mind, and maybe she's also seeing or sensing that the monster at the same time. And so I think those two sensations are almost opposing and are kind of, I think she's torn between, does she take action and remove the monster, or, you know, disable the monster in some way, or does she trust the child and just run away, essentially. I think the Leela of 2 years ago would have jumped in and taken the action and cut the tether. But I think the Leela of now has a lot more self-doubt. And I think one thing she's maybe kind of thought about in her head is that her power of indexing has done a lot of harm. And she worries whether indexing is even something that it's ethical to do. But the one thing she's held on to is that indexing is how she discovered the child and made this connection. And she has to trust in that. And there's no way around that. So I think she maybe takes that aggressive posture, hears the child's voice, struggles for a moment, and then, and I think maybe she had even taken like a knife out of her pocket and stuffs it back in her pocket and turns and goes in the direction of the voice.
So I think you start to run then, and as you move down, I think it's like kind of long initial corridor you're in this labyrinth. I think you see the monster push its way through the maze behind you. I think now I want you to roll act quick.
Fair enough. That's an 8.
All right. So with act quick, when you use your instincts or reflexes to avoid danger, negotiate through danger toward a goal, you roll plus slick. And on a 7 to 9, you're able to do it, but you have to choose one from the list. You're either off balance or rushed, and you have disadvantage going forward. You've left something behind, I'll tell you what. Or you push your limits with the effort and suffer a stress.
I mean, I think I suffer a stress. This feels stressful.
So go ahead and mark a stress. What I think happens is we see one of those tentacle arms lash out, and I think we see your sleeve. Well, I guess before that, what's Lila wearing? Can you describe her attire?
I think she's wearing similar clothes to what she usually wears in the landscape. So it's kind of loose-fitting button-down shirt and some linen pants.
So I think the arm lashes out, and I think it cuts you along the sleeve of your left arm. I think maybe it scratches you even. I don't think this is even... this qualifies as just a scratch, right? I don't think it's an injury or a harm that you have to take.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's like a light scratch or draws some blood, but it definitely gashes your shirt open as you narrowly avoid this. And you can tell that it would have, it could have taken your arm off if it had hit clean on. But you make your way around the corner, and I think at this point I want to cut back to Nasir.
It's Haley. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you're enjoying the show. Okay, now listen in. The rest of the team is expecting me to tell you to share the podcast with, people who would like it or something. And yeah, tell your friends and family. Talk us up at work. Hell, tag us at Worlds Away Pod on social media. But here's what I really want. I want you to share us with someone you think would hate this. You know that person in your life. They get way too into the things that they dislike. They have a critique for everything. That's who I want. Compliments, they're fine. But what I really feed on is the spirit of the haters. Bring them to me. Oh, shoot. Hold on. They're coming back. Hold on. Okay. And you can find us online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening. Now, back to the show. Remember what I said. Haters.
Hello.
So when we last left you off, you had seen on the screen as you were watching the video footage, and it applied your, algorithm to deduce the presence of something that's cloaked using the technology that the ghost ship appears to have, or that the Valiant now has. And using that, you had seen a second shape follow the first ship that you had seen previously. And I think you're kind of paused. It's only in a few frames, and I think you're kind of cycling back and forth between those images, trying to get a sense of what you're looking at. And I think the only thing you can really tell, other than the fact that it's dark in color and maybe slightly larger than the original, is that it still has two sets of wings on this ship, or this object moving through the sky. And I think as you're kind of transfixed and looking at this, kind of flipping the frames back and forth, which, you know, I will remind you that you did fail the roll, I think you hear, "It looks like you found something interesting, Mr. Baydock." And behind you, we see Herman Easling looking down at the screen.
Motherfucker. Kick him.
Shank him.
Cut him up.
Kick him when they up, kick him when they down.
I will send myself the footage and then delete my overlay.
Huh,
like,
okay,
like in as few keystrokes as possible. I'm down to roll for it. Like, I want to, as soon as I notice Easling, because I don't think that's a consequence of the failed roll. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I mean, I think the consequence was, yeah, the consequence, to be clear, is like him being there. I have to think if I can let you do this. Let me consider.
I thought the consequence was that I missed the message and I'm not with the others.
It's both. It's both. Let me think. I'll put it this way. I don't think there's any way that you could avoid him having seen this. Does that make sense? I think sure. He already saw it. I think if the point is that you want to, like, destroy it immediately, like, try to do that, I'll let you try to do that.
I want to make it clear that he can have seen it as much as he wants, but if he wants proof of it, I own that and he doesn't.
Okay.
I'm tired of people who are trying to play as though they have power over us. Let's play if you want to play.
Get it. Spicy.
I'm uninterested in the minor counselor of a Verge planet deciding he can step to me. That's my stance.
Woo! Mo, just a reminder, I'm playing Arno.
Nice.
So I think you can do that. I think it is act quick. I think you have to roll with disadvantage, however.
That's fine. I believe that's a 9. Nope, an 8 with disadvantage. Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, you have a 3. It's a 3, right? Plus 3?
Yes.
Okay.
What happens on a partial success of an act quick? I've never done that, I don't think.
I literally just did
it. You just act medium.
You have to leave something behind. You're off balance or rushed, or you get a stress.
Yeah. Do I pick or does John?
You get to pick.
Oh, great.
So if you try to use your instincts or reflexes to avoid danger and negotiate through danger toward a goal, which I guess the danger is him having this evidence.
I'll suffer one stress.
Okay. All right, so you got an add of stress.
Right.
So I think that, just to be clear of what you're trying to do, right? You're trying to, like, quickly both A, send it to yourself and delete it. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I guess let me just understand one thing before I say what happens next, right? You like, seem to react, like, very defensively to this fact, and you said, I'm sick of minor Verge count, like, what did you say exactly? Sick of minor Verge counselor stepping to you, etc.
Counselor of a Verge planet trying to step to me.
So I'm just like, what made you think he was trying to step to you, other than I'm playing the character?
Herman Easling has been someone who I have felt was in like an enemy since we left Satis, when he was intentionally hiding things from us, when he like manipulated information when we gave him. I suspect him to be the one who framed Ruby Watson.
Yeah.
Like, the reason I think he's stepping to me is because he's been our enemy for multiple arcs.
Okay. And you think he had, like, planned to be there behind you or something?
No, I knew when I offered the chance to be observed that there was a risk it would be Herman Easling. Like, I knew that when we made the offer to Sydney Gladwell. I just don't like Herman Easling.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I for one also believed that he framed Ruby Watson. I thought that was the prevailing belief. I do not like this guy.
So I think you sort of quickly type, right? I think here's what you can get. I mean, you do all the things that you said. I don't think there's a way to like remove the history of what you did, right? I think it's going to be clear that A, you sent something to yourself, and then B, that you removed a filter or some kind of modification to the images that you applied. But in terms of what that is, that's what you were able to delete.
Right.
I think that when you do this, and as you type in the screen, like, what does it look like on the screen? Let me ask you to sort of take control of the narrative. Like, what happens to the image?
I think the first thing that you see is, like, essentially like a little window pops up of like blooping. And then the next thing that pops up is like a highlighting of a filter. And then like the screen like reloads and the image that was there is gone. And like the video has restarted.
So I think as you do that, right, I think we just see his face and he has a kind of bewildered, like, I think he kind of raises his eyebrows to the fact that you're doing this.
I thought I was going to be bewildered, like, watching someone who can, you know, flip a PDF. And he was just like, oh, shit, I didn't know you could do that.
I don't think he's that much of a boomer, right? I think he's a little more with it than that.
Fair enough.
I think he looks at the screen and then once he kind of overcomes the shock of you having just done this, like, very aggressive act, right? I think he says, what do you think it means?
I think, frankly, that we don't have complete information about the rogue vessel and that this anomaly is almost certainly linked to the incidents that happened a few years ago before the formation of ICO. And how are you, counselor? And there's a smile on my face.
Yeah, yeah. He laughs and he pulls up a chair from, I think it's like somebody else's desk, right? Because you're in the sort of bullpen of the Office of Public Safety. So he just kind of takes a chair from another desk and pulls it up to kind of look at you. And he says, I'm fine. And for what it's worth, I agree with everything you just said. I can only imagine it is linked.
Well, I'm glad we're in agreement. If there's nothing else, counselor.
So, like, when you say that, you just go to stand up, is that correct?
Essentially.
So I think as you do that, he says, what is it that you and the council intend to do with what you learned here?
I intend to make my report to the council. What they intend to do with the information, I cannot begin to fathom. What is it they've done with the information about the anomaly?
As you're aware, I myself don't have a seat on ICO. The future of this planet is one being charted by a younger generation. But that doesn't mean I didn't...
Hold on. When he says a younger generation, not all of them, counselor. And there's still a smile on my face.
And you're intending to like invoke Ruby Watson to that?
I am very directly invoking Ruby Watson.
Can I just ask a question? What does ICO stand for?
Interplanetary Council of Humanity.
Because we said interplanetary is all one word, and it's ICHO.
Yes. ICOH, but yeah.
ICOH. All right, thank you. I was trying to understand where the P went. Okay, thank you.
But I think, is interplanetary two words?
No. I mean, you could dehyphenate it, or you can make it one word.
That's the magic of acronyms.
And the future uses closed style, because it's the only correct style, so it is one word. But
okay.
There I fucking said it.
What the fuck just happened?
Sorry. Give me some agency as the GM.
I'm completely in agreement.
It's John's world. We're just living in it.
Yeah, I don't want to engage in this, actually. I'm glad this victory for you. It looks important. You look excited about it.
Drag.
I got to get the little things where I can. Okay, Lauren.
All right. I'll remember that next time we're on the Valiant and I open up the mini fridge to find it fully stocked with Four Loko. Caffeinated, of course.
As long as mini fridge is one word and not hyphenated.
No, but Four Loko is now hyphenated.
It's the future. It's Five Loko. Come on. They found another Loko.
That was Genesis's first patent, was finding the fifth Loko. It's like
everyone knows that each of the Lokos corresponds to one of the fundamental forces of physics.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were talking about the humors. Never mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's probably that,
Kier,
too.
Kier, chosen one, Kier.
Spit take. We got a spit take. I drank the spit take. We can move on now.
Sorry, I forgot where it was before I got that. I went down this road. Give me a second.
I was busy playing Arno. I got it. Counselor on Saturdays.
No, I got it. Say what you will, but Ms. Watson was working with Aventine. That is a fact, Monsieur. As for me, just because I'm not in the meetings doesn't mean I haven't heard what's going on. I haven't made a fuss yet publicly about what was found out in the rocks. Given what happened to that woman on the prospecting team, the last thing that we needed was a crowd swarming towards something dangerous. But if things are starting to look like they did 3 years ago, I'm not sure how we could justify keeping this to ourselves.
I'm not saying you should keep it to yourself, Counselor. In fact, I'm not saying anything at all about where the information goes. I'm not in the business of keeping secrets anymore.
Other than the one that you just removed.
On the contrary, Counselor, I'm ensuring that this information makes its way unaltered to the Council. We've had trouble with the information we collect on Satis being interpreted before.
Oh, shit!
I think he gets a kind of, like, confused look when you say that. Like, he's not sure what you're referring to.
Counselor, can I ask you an honest question?
I think he just gestures his hand toward you.
Do you honestly not know that Ruby Watson was framed? I believe in the unitedness of humanity. I believe that we need to stick together. And I do not believe we do that through subterfuge and lies and deception. When I first arrived on Satis, I didn't think you did either. And I am using a move from my playbook.
Okay.
So say we all. When you invoke a shared belief, mission, or dream to bridge the distance between you and a character, roll plus slick. On a 10 plus, you get a good read on them and hold 3. On a 7 to 9, you just hold 1. And so I think this will shape the rest of our conversation together. Because I am primarily asking the question about Ruby Watson. But I think more than that, I'm trying to get a read on where Herman Easling stands with regard to the work of Iko, the rogue vessel known as the Ghost Ship, and this anomaly.
All right, go ahead and roll plus slick, and we'll see what happens.
That is a 9 plus 3, that is a 12. Full success.
Whee! Okay.
All right, so you can hold, on a 10 plus, you can hold 3, and the options that you can use, which you can use them all at once or throughout the interaction, is what's driving your character this moment? What's your character most afraid of right now? Who does your character really answer to? What could make your character change their mind? And how could I get your character to trust me? I don't know if any of those answer the question that you asked about Ruby Watson, but I think they, you know, we could see how they lead to something or how they respond to this.
I think your answer is going to be whatever your answer is going to be. John, you're totally in the driver's seat there. But the first question that I want to ask now, which is, what is your character most afraid of?
Okay. I think he says, honesty, it's a funny thing for you to claim such allegiance to after you just removed evidence that points toward an uncomfortable truth. I agree in the value of honesty. I believe that with the right information, the people will make a good decision. It's why I believe in our system. It's why I believe in our democracy. But honesty wasn't how the last armistice was formed or this new one. If we were honest and not obscuring the misdeeds of others, perhaps this question of our future would have been resolved for good. As for Miss Watson, there's no question that she was a spy for Aventine, and all the evidence for that came from the four of you and where you pointed us. I don't see how that could have been framed.
John, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
What is it about being a spy for Aventine that is, I mean, I guess just like a violation of Satis law?
Yeah.
Right. Like what, like, can you talk to me about this so I better understand?
Yeah. I think it was like, it was espionage, right? She was like taking information and passing it to another government, right? It's like operating as an agent of Aventine.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But as a reminder, like the original evidence, right? So like, what was the original thing you were brought in for? It was about the sabotage of the reactor.
Right. And the react that she was framed.
Well, I mean, the footage, right? You had the footage, right? That was fake. That's what your determination was.
Right. The footage was fake, and she had an alibi that Leela stole from her brain. That she was at the secret house.
Yeah. Correct.
We prefer to say unwillingly extracted.
I hear that preferable? You personally, as the only person who has this ability, prefer to say that. So after Leela stole the information from her brain, I want to acknowledge your feelings.
And also just say, like, I think the narrative, right? Like, about, like, you know, how does the piece about the reactor fit into that, right? It's like the idea was there's this agitation of outside forces in the politics of Satis, and that
right.
Satis has always been like a pro-republic planet. And then you had Ruby Watson kind of changing things up. But it turns out she's actually just also working for another foreign power, right? Just in this case, Aventine.
And now we're all working with Aventine, Counselor.
For now. But things have a way of changing when the truth comes out. What you saw on that screen, what you don't want people to know. It's only a matter of time before we find the same thing. You should know that. And if I sit on this, if I tried to wait until Iko could put a spin on things, try to do what it has to in order to keep the peace, well, history has not been kind to leaders who tried to keep secrets from their citizens.
It's been less kind to people who are more committed to governments than their ideals. We once stood and smiled and shook hands on the idea of a united humanity. Now we have one, and you seem opposed to it, because it includes Aventine. I want to ask my second question right now.
Mm-hmm.
What is driving your character at this moment?
I think he says, you're trying to paint me as if I'm some kind of bigot. It's only the two of us speaking, Nasir. We know what they did in our mine, what they planted there, what they were testing. And now, another citizen of Satis has been hurt.
I'd like to invoke one of my hooks.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I am going to, because I'm not going to take an advantageous move here. I'm not going to do something that would be advantageous to me. And I just want to draw attention to it.
Okay.
The hook is, my vision has turned towards the future. I will not invoke my past as the icon, even when it might help me.
Okay.
And he just said, we know what they did here. Speaking mm-hmm. about Aventine. And my trump card in that moment is what Earth did to my son.
Mm-hmm.
And that the idea of Aventine being worse is fallacious. But I'm not going to say that.
So brave.
Yes, yeah, so brave. That's what I want to say really bad, to be honest. But I'm sticking with my hook. The devices have all been unmade. The ability to track them has been shared with the galaxy. You have it in your back pocket. If one of those devices came anywhere near Satis, you would know. This is something different, Counselor. And I'm going to ask my last question.
Mm-hmm.
How could I make your character change their mind?
Oh.
It's a good one. Seems reasonable in this situation.
I think he says, clearly it's different. But just because it's new doesn't mean it doesn't come from the same source. You yourselves were the ones that announced the presence of the, I think you called it, rogue vessel. The one that was on the footage that you were just watching. And that same vessel was the one seen 3 years ago when Aventine was planting their toys in our backyard.
That same vessel has attacked us and Aventine before, which was in the same report we used to release that information. So you well know.
I think when you say that, actually, he snickers and says, honestly, Nasir, I expected better of you. I would think that somebody as trained in politics would understand strategy when they saw it. When the inspectors all opened Aventine's caches, the ones that you revealed in your big stunt, and found them empty, there's only one explanation of that that makes sense. They wanted you to find the Amity. They wanted you to find what you discovered out in the Lua system. And the reason for that is we were more prepared than they were. Forcing this new treaty, forcing the changes that were made, that was Aventine's escape hatch. Meanwhile, Earth's disarmed, and now Aventine has veto power over their fleet.
Counselor, we found the Amity using a secret project that no one even in the Minerva project knew about, aside from the four members of the project, Associate Director Green, and then Acting Director Shaw. We even kept the information initially hidden from Nico Torres. We only made him aware of it once we'd received the distress beacon. How exactly do you think that Aventine meant for us to find not even a distress signal, but the echoes of a device using a tracker that had never been invented and they did not know existed? Counselor, I don't disagree that from a political strategic perspective, it makes sense for Aventine to want us to find this, if indeed they were behind in the arms race, and this was all a plot. They would just have been depending on one in a trillion odds, with no knowledge that we would ever find them. That's not strategic brilliance, that's lunacy.
Maybe they gave you more credit than you do. They knew about the devices, obviously, they built them. It stands to reason that Earth, which also designed the initial prototype, would have had a way of finding them. Maybe you did get lucky, but that doesn't mean they knew that.
You're right. It is possible that the ghost ship is Aventine, that this was all some brilliant plot by Aiden Kyros that hinged on Mara Belova having another generational discovery. She had done it before, so if there was anyone to invest in, I suppose it was her. It's possible. To call it likely, or even the simplest solution, is magical thinking. I guess I want to follow up with my question to the GM of how do I get this character to change their mind?
Yeah. I guess on that point, you and I will just have to disagree. From my perspective, all I see is the exact same pieces in the exact same place on the exact same board. So if you're telling me that things are different now, that this is something else that we need to be worried about, then what is it exactly that's different? And if there is something, and I think he gestures toward the screen, why aren't you willing to show it to me?
I will send him the video. And I will pull up the last 2 years of research that our squad has done on every ship schematic we could find, Aventine, Verge, or Earth, that we could get a record of from Ico, Aventine, or the fleet between the three of us, strategically positioned across the Verge. And whether or not there was anything resembling the ghost ship. And then, like, now referencing it against if there's anything resembling this new vessel. And I assume we've, like, you can make us roll if you want, but I assume we came up blank. And, like, there was no match of information.
Yeah, you don't have to roll for that. I'll tell you this, right? If the point is that, did you find a vessel that looks like that or that could have, like, a likely source of it, right? The answer to that's no. Do you think that humanity could have, like, made something like that? I mean, I think that you think the answer could be yes. So that's, right. I think, the twist. So
there are no vessels known that even remotely match this signature. The technology existed in the same way that the technology to replicate the stealth existed. The idea to create it, however, the impetus for designing it, we have nothing that matches. Nothing that we could find from any source that we could access. And I assure you, Counselor, when we put our minds to it, Dr. Mara Belova, Lieutenant Arno Hines, and Nasir Baydok can accomplish quite a lot. We were unable to find any matches. Nothing that we believed would have inspired someone to this technology. A quick look at the second vessel that ICI have discovered. A piece of information that, at the current moment, only you and I and all the galaxy possess. Would lead me to believe I have never seen anything like this either. You want it to be Aventine. Not because you're a bigot, Counselor, but because they stand in antithesis to what you believe. On that, you and I are not aligned. The only place I know to get more information on what's happening is in a cave on the other side of this valley. If you'll excuse me, Counselor.
Yeah, I think if you walk out, you just see him looking down at his slate and kind of surveying the image that you sent. Leela, I want to pick back up with you.
Oh, boy.
I think we see you running through the maze. Maybe it's like a full sprint, and you know, we see you quickly turning, and you can hear the echoes of left, this way, the voice of the child coming through as you quickly turn and navigate through the maze. I want to ask you, though, what do we think Leela is looking for in terms of the exit from this place? I think last time we saw you enter this space, enter the maze, and or exit it through the door, right? There was a door that had formed in the wall. Yeah. And then you saw the outline of that form when you exited. So I don't know if it's the same thing or something else you're looking for in this space. But what's your objective, or what are you seeking as you move through the maze? And then also, what do we see on Leela's face, or what do we see in terms of your expression as you're kind of running and making your way, trying to follow the voice of the child? Especially maybe after you had that first sense of doubt.
This is off mic, but I really fucking hate J.K. Rowling because it's like I'm having a hard time thinking about running through a maze with something chasing behind me and not thinking Goblet of Fire. But
yeah, I hate J.K. Rowling because she took literally all the ideas and just did them.
And it's like, and I don't even want to reference her. Otherwise, it could be like, oh, it's an homage. But it's like, no, fuck that shit. Yeah. So
no homage.
There's a blast-ended scroot that comes out of the maze.
Yeah. The graveyard scene comes later, though, so it's okay.
Okay.
When does Leela kiss Robert Pattinson?
Lauren, that wasn't in... That was only in the fanfic version.
Nah, there was kissing.
I remember it.
Yeah, we remember it.
Yeah, I remember it.
I don't know if Leela really has a sense of, did she start in the center of the maze and she's trying to get out of it? Or did she start near the beginning of the maze and she's trying to get to the center? Which I guess are the two options. So I think maybe Leela is looking for kind of an opening or something to indicate that she's out. But maybe what actually happens is that she kind of gets to what is, I guess, the middle or just an ending. And there's not really anywhere to run, except that in the middle of one of the walls of hedges, there's a door. And then maybe that is how she has to get out.
So I think if that's the case, I mean, I don't think it's just that you get to the door right away, right? That would be a sufficiently exciting.
I think she gets right to the door.
I think something different. I think
I really respect the way you put that.
No, but I think what happens. I liked what you said about like working through the maze. And I think maybe you find yourself at the middle. And I think that you had previously described the maze in Nadia's mind as this mix, again, the hybrid between the natural and the built. And maybe that there's a kind of unity between this topiary, these hedges, right, and something that's more granite or solid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in the middle, maybe the hedges get lower. And it's so it's almost like, in addition to being a maze, it's almost like a crater. It's like, if you viewed it from above, the heights, which seemed infinite where you started, have kind of made their way lower until there's nothing. And maybe the maze is, instead of being physical, it's one of those like a designed labyrinth, right, where there's no hedges at all. And the maze is just on the ground, right? It's like into the stone on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you could follow the maze, but there's nothing physical keeping you locked into it. And so I think being here in the middle of the maze, it grants you a new perspective, which is, you know, in addition to being at the bowl of the crater, you realize that there are all of these twisting pathways, the parts of the maze that obscure your vision or your ability to navigate straight ahead. But once you reach the center, there's just like a straight line forward, like a straight line up that cuts through the entire length of the maze. And at the end, I think you see a white rectangular outline, right? And this is, you know, I guess I would say, if you had to put a distance on it, several hundred yards away down this straight path that the walls kind of build up and up and up around. So it's kind of this increasingly narrow pathway that you would have to work your way down. But I think you can see this. And I guess my question is, you're in the center, and I said that the, you know, the walls have all come down. Do you continue to follow the maze, which includes the instructions of the child, or do you just kind of like, now that you have the ability to step over, do you just move through the labyrinth as if it was not an obstruction, now that there's no physical barrier?
Gosh, I think Haley would totally step over and just run straight to the middle. But I think Leela has put her trust in the child so far. And I guess, is the child still instructing her to take turns?
I think so. I think nothing's changed about the information you're getting from the child, even as the walls became lower so you could see over them. And maybe you even got a sense of the path being different. But at this point, it's like there's no obstruction. You could just go straight, but they're still navigating you through the center part of this maze where it's only the stones on the ground that show the path.
I think Lila's made her decision. I think she's following the child. Okay. And I think she understands that just because she can't see the barrier doesn't mean that there isn't one there. Mm-hmm. And I think she's going to follow the path.
So I think you continue to follow the path, and sure enough, I mean, I think it takes some time, right? And, you know, minutes can feel like hours in here, right? But I think it's several minutes of just navigating this central part of the maze, like walking around these stones. And you know, I don't know if there's some frustration with seeing the exit, but continuing to follow the path. But, you know, whatever she feels, that's what the amount of time that it takes. But eventually you reach the straightaway. And I think you can hear the voice say,
"It isn't far now."
And I think you move down the straight path and the walls kind of grow taller and taller around you as you move toward the door. As you near the end, I think you can see it more clearly and the frame starts to materialize. I'd mentioned inside Nadia's mind that the shape kind of closed around. It became more physical. It became like an actual wooden door with a handle, right? So I think it starts to take on that shape. But let me ask this. Before you reach the door, what is it that makes you look back? Or maybe more accurately, what do you look back for down this row?
I think up until now, Leela has kept her face forward and has just been running and trying to stay ahead of the monster. I think there's been a few times where she was sure it was just behind her and then it was about to grab her. So she hasn't even had a second to breathe or turn around. And I think in that last moment, just before she steps forward or stretches out her hand, I think she'll turn back and she'll look to see, is the monster right behind her, or kind of get one last glimpse of it.
So let me ask this then. When you turn around, whose face do you see behind you?
I think Ruby Watson?
Does it startle you?
In some ways, yes. I think in other ways, the specter of Ruby Watson has been here since the moment Leela stepped foot on Thaddeus. So in some ways, it's just acknowledging something that's been in the back of your mind for a long time. But in another way, I think it is frightening.
So I think you see that, and then I think you turn back toward the door. And when you do, I think you see the monster standing in your path.